Have you ever had an experience that was so good that you just couldn't explain it? Right? Maybe it was like hanging out with your friends. Maybe you're just cracking a lot of jokes, having a really good time, and it's just one of those times where it's like you just had to be there. Maybe you're at a restaurant. Maybe you have a favorite restaurant or a favorite meal. Like, I could tell you about Texas Roadhouse and their rolls and the cinnamon butter, but I would rather just eat it. All right, or maybe you're going to a concert and you have a friend that would say, I can just listen to it on my AirPods, but it's not the same, right? And so to try and prove your point, you post a 10-minute video on your Snapchat story that no one ends up actually watching, right? So for me, an indescribable feeling is going to the beach, right? You've got a 10-hour car ride, you're arguing with your family, and you look out, see that the trees start to look a little bit different than what they look like around here. You get there, and you're pulling up close to the condos, and you're looking in between the buildings, and you can finally see the ocean. You can finally see the water. And you roll the window down, and you feel the breeze, the salty air. It smells different. It feels different. You get it to the ocean, and you're finding seashells. You're diving through the waves that are crashing over your head. And for me, personally, I like standing right on the shoreline where the water meets the sand, looking up and down the shoreline and realizing just how small we actually are in this world. And Christmas has that same feeling, right? We've got Christmas lights. Okay, I could tell you about Christmas lights. I could say, well, Christmas lights are really pretty, but wouldn't you rather just go see them yourself? You got Christmas music. You could listen to Christmas music all year round. That would be kind of silly, but you could just listen to Christmas music, say, while you're making Christmas cookies, right? That would be a whole lot better than not doing it and me just telling you about it. Decorating the Christmas tree. I personally would rather tell you about decorating a Christmas tree than actually doing it, but to each their own. So Christians tend to get really excited around this time of year. We're getting to anticipate the birth of our risen Savior. But even that can't be fully explained. It needs to be experienced fully. So Scripture tells us of a verse about Christmas that talks about the difference of explaining and experiencing. So I'll be in John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this verse is explaining that God came to earth as fully man, but also still fully God in the form of his son, Jesus. A lot of people get excited about that, right? So in main service, we're talking about Advent. You say, what even is Advent? Advent just means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or place. And so that thing around this time is Jesus. And so we see in main service, we lit the Advent candles, right? We've got hope, peace, joy, love. We've been doing a memory verse in honor of Advent. We have Advent calendars, right? For little kids, they've got the windows that they open every single day, and they've got a little piece of candy until they count down the day that they get to Christmas. So every year around this time, you probably hear about how Jesus was born and how you can know how incredible God is. And because of Christmas, you can know how powerful God is, how good God is, and how the season shows how loving God is. And you hear all the explanations and all the reasons why we celebrate Christmas and what it means for Christians, but it still doesn't click. And there are good reasons as to why it doesn't click. So for me, it took to understand the weight of his death to understand his birth. So I'll get into that a little bit later, because this is a Christmas story service, not an Easter service. So another reason that the Christmas story may not click is because we don't even really know the facts of what even happened. Right? So last year I kind of preached on the Christmas story, and it blew my mind about how many things that I didn't actually know about the Christmas story, or things that were said to be confirmed but aren't actually confirmed. Right, so take the three wise men. In Scripture, it doesn't ever say that there were three wise men. It says that there were three gifts. It says that there was frankincense, myrrh, and gold. It doesn't mean there were three wise men. It's a good assumption. That's our best guess, but we don't know. No room at the inn. So every nativity play that you probably grew up seeing, you had this angry innkeeper that said, no room at the inn, get out. That never happened either. It most likely didn't happen. So that culture around then was a culture of hospitality. They most likely would have let someone in. It would have been insane to have turned them down, especially a pregnant woman. December 25th, we don't know if that's actually Jesus' verified birthday. We have no idea. Our best guess, and Bible scholars would guess that Mary was pregnant around March at the beginning of her pregnancy. And so December, 9 months later, of course, is our best guess. And another misconception, the wise men went to see Jesus the night he was born. You see the nativity scenes and you see a lot of people gathering around where Jesus is at. We don't know that, right? So we go back to another part in the Christmas story where it's King Herod sending out a decree to kill all the babies that are 2 years of age and younger, right? So that means there's some sort of time span into where Jesus was born. That doesn't mean the wise men got there on that night. And now just because you don't know the facts surrounding the Christmas story or know all the misconceptions doesn't mean that we can't know the weight of Jesus' birth. It's just easier to understand the story with full context. So Christmas may also not click for you because life just isn't what you were hoping that it would be. We all have individual circumstances that can deflate the hope that God is becoming flesh and blood. Life is hard. What is so good about God coming to a cold, twisted world like this one? We hear about the good news, but how good is it really? I'll tell you why it's good news. It's not just a story. These aren't just characters. These are people with real fears, real doubts, real questions. And it was unexpected for God to show up that night. They didn't know where God was going to be. They thought God was angry and distant. They had no idea he was going to show up that night. That's good too. So let's elaborate on this good news. So I'll be in Luke chapter 2, and we'll go over Jesus' birth and then kind of the reaction from the people who had received that news. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So already we see God's humble character showing, right? He's God. He could have made this huge announcement, just a beautiful shining bolt of light coming down from the sky. I don't know. It could have been grand, right? But he came in the form as a baby. What are babies? They're dependent, small, helpless. They cry a lot. They're vulnerable, right? And for all of human history, like I said, people thought God was angry, that he was distant, that he didn't want to hear us, that he didn't want to know us. But he's not angry and distant, and he understands us. See, he came in the form as a baby so that he could relate to us. Even in Hebrews, in our memory verse and main service, we see that we have a high priest that understands us. That started from the very day that he showed up to be with us. He showed up in the world the exact same way that each one of us did. If you ever wonder if God knows you, if God loves you, or if God understands you, the Christmas story is proof that he does. The Word became flesh and blood, and he was born as a baby in a manger. And every single time a baby is born, there's a celebration, and then we celebrate every single year after that. The Christmas story is also a birthday story. So as we read, we'll get some details about who was there. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So that's a lot to take in. So let's break this down. We have shepherds out in the field. They're taking care of their livestock. And out of nowhere, an angel appears to them, and they are freaked out. Angels don't look like what our culture or TV shows would make them out to be. That's our best guess. What we think they look more like is that. And so that's our best guess, but that's creepy. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that about an angel. I'm sorry, but that's scary. And so he had to calm them down. He had to say, "Fear not." And so this angel tells them of the good news. And he says, it's for all people. It's not just for you. It's not just for everyone on this side of the room. It's for everybody. He invited everyone in. Even the shepherds. So the shepherds are lowly. They're dirty. They're taking care of livestock. It's a nasty job. They had bad reputations. Yet they were the ones that God chose to have the angels invite to celebrate that night. And that reveals the character of God again. We say that he leaves the 99 to chase the one. Right? That's what he's doing. He invites the highest of the angels, and he invites the lowest of the shepherds. I can't explain the goodness of a God like that. I can, but it doesn't do him justice. We can read and talk about him, and we can read the stories and talk about the eyewitness accounts. But that experience, the words "great joy" to me are so uplifting. In today's society, we're so obsessed with happiness, being happy. I'll do what I want to do. I'll create my identity. Let me follow my heart, and don't tell me otherwise. And sure, happiness is fine. That's good. It's good to be happy, but happiness is fleeting. But joy is lasting. And by choosing God, that brings joy. And he chose us. He chose to love you. God's love is for everyone, everywhere, all the time. My favorite part about this is that the shepherds, they weren't just satisfied about hearing the good news. They're thinking, if God has done this, if God is like this, God wants to be a part of us, to join us. If he's really shown up, we should go. And so they did. So we read on. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So verse 16 says, they went with haste. They didn't wait. They didn't question if this angel was lying to them. They didn't allow themselves to be cheated on seeing this miracle. They had been chosen by God to see baby Jesus. My encouragement as you is to follow the shepherd's example. Do what they did. Be ambitious. See, Jesus is meant to be experienced, not just explained. So let's put it like this. Is anyone on my front row like Reese's Cups? Jack, I'm glad you said that. Jack, let me tell you why I love Reese's Cups. I love chocolate. I love peanut butter. And it goes really good with milk. I love chocolate. So I get chocolate milk and I just drink the chocolate milk, eat the Reese's. Yes, that's perfect. I would do that. And they do seasonal ones too. Did you know that? They have a Easter egg, a Reese's tree. I think they do a pumpkin. They do a pumpkin. They do a Reese's football. Yep. Jack, I'm sure you would love this. But Jesus, and we do this, hang on. We do this with Jesus. You feel cheated, don't you? I mean, I asked you if you like Reese's, you thought maybe I'd give that to you. But I threw it off to the side. And we do this with our relationship with Jesus. We get explained all the good things that we want to hear, and it sounds great, and so much so that we want to have it every now and then, but we don't commit to it. And we just throw it off to the side. And the worst part is, Jack, I cheated you, but with your relationship with Jesus, it's you. It's your choice. It's your choice to experience him, or your choice to throw him to the side. And instead of following Jesus, we give more time to YouTubers or our music artists. And we follow them. We indulge in them. We spend a lot of time with them. We'll watch their videos. We listen to their music. Maybe we have a favorite athlete. We watch all their games. And none of your favorite artists, actors, celebrities, they would not do this. Never. They wouldn't. And they couldn't. See, when I said it helps me to understand the weight of Jesus' birth by understanding his death, that image breaks my heart because that is my fault. I am a part of why he is on that cross. See, he was mocked. Before he was even up there, he was beaten. He was flogged. They had leather whips with metal balls and sheep bone on the end of it. And they would beat him. And the bone would make contact with Jesus' skin, and it would dig into his muscles and tear out chunks of flesh, and it would expose the bone beneath it. And as he's getting beat, he's getting mocked. Soldiers are spitting on him. The Savior of the world that came as a baby to intercede on your behalf, he's getting mocked, spit on. The nails that are driven through him, so the Greek word for hand also includes a wrist, so he's most likely driven through right here. And the nerve endings are right there in your hand, all right here on your wrist. So that really, really hurts. And then they drive nails to the top of his feet. A lot of your nerve endings in your feet are near your toes. That hurts. As he's bleeding on his back from the wounds, from the whip, they put a robe on him to clot the blood, which will make him live longer, suffer longer. And then they put the crown of thorns on him. And they push that into his head, and all the nerve endings in your face, right? It sends a searing pain and shock down his neck. He's in so much pain. He's getting mocked, spit on. And then they lift him up on the cross, and as his weight pulls down from being hung up, his elbows and shoulders will dislocate from his waist moving down. And that's going to cause, again, a lot of pain. And that's just the physical pain. Think about when he's asking, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd known God from the beginning of time, and for the first time, he was separated from the Father. See, someone else's explanation of their experience can be a great starting point. But at some point, we have to experience that for ourselves. We have to experience Jesus for ourselves. We have to read. A lot of people would say that reading your Bible 4 times a week is the benchmark for changing the trajectory of your life. We have to pray. How often do you talk to your best friend, your good friends? Every day, maybe every other day, if you're actually pretty close to them. So why would you not talk to God? Why would you not want to talk to him? He loves you. He wants to hear you. And then holding yourselves and your friends accountable. So for me, I got two guys in my life that every week I meet with them, and it's called Verge. And what we do is we let each other in on what sin is going on in our life, what that looks like. And that makes me better. That helps me look more like Jesus. And they do the same thing. They tell me what's going on in their life, and I help them, and I speak life into them. That helps them. That helps point all three of us back to the cross, back to Jesus. And catching fire for Jesus for a couple weeks, it just won't give you that great joy either. You have to find consistency and seek him every single day. So some things you can do are keep showing up. Keep showing up to tribe. Keep paying attention in tribe. Keep paying attention in main service. When you know we're going to do small groups, still show up to tribe. If you know we're going to do small groups, don't leave before we do small groups. Show up. Be a part of it. Maybe you have friends that also need to be here, or you want them to be here, or you have your friends that are in your small groups. Talk with them. Start conversations. Keep showing up. Ask questions. What is it that you're wondering about? What is it that makes all of this hard to believe? What do you want to know more about? What do you wonder about? Ask someone. You have tribe leaders. You have friends, parents. Have a conversation. Keep exploring. Keep learning. And take the experience with you. Right? Jesus moved in the neighborhood, and the angels and shepherds were having a celebration. It wasn't a secret. Bring who Jesus is along with you. Share that with people. We're told to go and make disciples of all nations, right? Bring Jesus with you. Imagine if you kept showing up and you got to move from just hearing explained to actually experienced. What if instead of taking my word for it, or your grandma's word for it, or your pastor's word for it, you actually experienced it for yourself? How might the upcoming new year be different? As you head out, I want you to think about ways that you can welcome Jesus into your neighborhood. Think about what a party it would be if you were encouraged to show up, and then you encourage those around you to go with you. You never know what you might experience. It just might change everything. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the Christmas story and what that means in our lives, God, I just thank you. I thank you that even though you sat on your heavenly throne, you made yourself vulnerable, that you came as a baby to relate to us, to show that you cared about us, to show that you love us. And God, I pray that we see that. I pray that we hear that this season. I pray that we anticipate what was your birth. God, that we would see the Christmas story not as just a story, but as real events. God, that we would see you in a different light, maybe for the first time. God, that we would appreciate what your son did for us on that cross. God, I thank you for the love that you consistently pour out over us, and the love that we can see from the story that you gave us tonight. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.